God's help this evening, I'd like to read from Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Let us. Brothers and sisters and friends, as we gather together in this evening, we know, I believe, if we truly take a moment to think about our lives and this evening, this chance we have to come into God's house, we can honestly say that we're a blessed people. When we think of all that the Lord has done for us in our lives and how he continually leads us and directs us and shapes us into what he would have us to do and into how he would have us to be, we can truly say that we're blessed. And we're so blessed that we can gather in God's house week in, week out. And we hear many messages. We pray many times to the Lord together, and we sing praises to the name of the Lord together, and it happens often. How blessed we are that we can gather often, that it's not a rare occurrence that we would gather in God's house, but it's often. And we feel the need to gather. And thanks be to the Lord for that, that he gives us the desire and he gives us the wisdom to see that it's necessary for us to gather in God's house, to be strengthened by one another and to read the word of the Lord together. And yet I find myself, and I believe I can speak for probably most of us, I find myself at times in the busyness of life forgetting what we read in the past week or two or past month. When I think about what sermons we've heard, what chapters we've read together, what the prayers have said that we've offered to our Lord together, I can find myself forgetting at times and have to think back and try to remember what we read just a few short days ago. And we have to guard ourselves, we have to guard our minds to not get distracted by whatever the devil is trying to distract us with. He's trying to throw anything at us that we would not think spiritually. He's trying to throw any distraction at us that he can, that we would take our minds off of God's word and what we've heard in the past days. And so in an attempt to battle the devil in that way, I've been thinking of over the past few weeks about the sermons that we've heard, the chapters that we've read together, and the prayers that we've offered together. I've been thinking, what does the Lord want for me to take from these messages that we've heard, from these messages that I've heard? I think that's healthy for us to reflect on what we've heard and to apply what we have heard to our lives. And as I think about the messages that we've heard lately, there's a theme that I can say I've noticed for myself. We gather in God's house and we pray to the Lord and we ask that He would provide for our needs individually, because the needs of us are all varied. We are all at different points in our lives and all at different points in our spiritual walk with the Lord, and we all have varying needs. So we pray that the Lord would fill our needs personally and also collectively, that we as a church collectively would also hear what we need to hear from the Lord. And so I was thinking, what have we read these past few weeks? And what is the Lord trying to teach me in particular? And one theme that kept coming up when I thought about the chapters that we've read and the sermons we've heard is, what am I doing? What are we doing in our lives? Are we allowing the Lord to work in our lives or not? And that might sound simple, but I really think that pretty much all the messages we've heard lately have fallen into that same category, where God is really trying to ask us, how are we allowing Him to mold us and to shape us? Are we or are we not? Just a few weeks ago, we heard a sermon. We read the chapter, the account of Jesus when He was in Nazareth, His hometown, where He grew up. They knew Him from a child. And we read that in that place that Jesus did no mighty works. I can't remember if it's which account exactly, that they're worded a little bit different. One account said Jesus, because of the unbelief of the people, He did not do any miracles. And another account, it says He could not do any miracles because of their unbelief. So because of the unbelief of the people in Nazareth, Jesus would not or could not do any miracles. He healed a few sick folk, but He did not do miracles like He did in other places because of the hardening of the hearts of the people there and their unbelief, their stiff-neckedness. Now, does that mean that Jesus literally could not do a miracle there? I think we know the answer is no. He could do all things. But because He saw unbelief in the people in Nazareth, He chose not to do any miracles there. And so that got me thinking, well, am I allowing the Lord to work in my life? Are we, as believers or unbelievers, whatever state we're in our lives, are we allowing the Lord to work in us? Are we allowing Him to move us, to shape us? Because again, we just heard that recently in a message as well, where we read from in Jeremiah how we read of Jeremiah seeing a potter working with clay. And the Lord tells us that He is the potter and we are the clay, and God wants to work with us. And it's up to us, the condition of our hearts. It's up to the condition of our hearts to that determines how much the Lord is able to work in us. If we're not pliable, if we're not allowing the Lord to change us, if we're not allowing His holy word to prick us, then the Lord won't do anything for us. He won't force us. He doesn't want to force us into submission. He wants us to give ourselves over to Him willingly. And so we can have many obstacles in our lives. We can have many hindrances that would block us from allowing the Lord to work in our lives. And again, we've I think heard in many messages lately about some of these hindrances. We've been encouraged lately in multiple messages of how the Lord is warning us not to think all about our possessions and how we can't get caught up in this life and in the race for more that so many people seem to get lost in. That's been mentioned multiple times lately. That's not an accident. The Lord is trying to remind us that we're here just for a short time. The time we have with our families, with our children, with each other is so short. And the Lord is asking us to redeem the time, to use our time wisely. And that's what's led me to this chapter that we have read together, where it says that in verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And this question of what we are sowing in our lives, what we are planting, what we are sowing, this has eternal consequences. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So the condition of our hearts and how we're allowing the Lord to work in us has spiritual, everlasting consequences for us. Again, we've read and heard a message lately, recently about Lot's wife, when the Lord sent an angel to take Lot and his family out of Sodom, away. He said, go away and don't look back. And we know the story of Lot's wife. She looked back. She loved her former life. She loved the sin that was in that place. And she looked back. Her heart was still there. And she became a pillar of salt. Her love for her old place, her love for the sin that was in that city was an incredibly large hindrance to her, that she couldn't serve the Lord. Her heart was just, the Lord was removing her out of that evil place, and her heart was still back there in Sodom. That's a hindrance to her. The love of this world, the love of worldliness, worldly things, kept her from serving her Lord. And is that the case for us today? What are we doing? Are we hindering the Lord? Are we putting up roadblocks, obstacles that don't allow the Lord to work in our lives daily? Is the Lord working in our lives daily? Can we feel that he's leading us or not? Do we have any, as we go throughout our daily life and we go through the at times the mundaneness of life, do we feel ourselves being led by the Spirit? Or do we find ourselves in sorrow and in with anxiety or too many concerns or cares? Or do we find ourselves being bored? What are we finding ourselves doing? Are we allowing the Lord to reveal unto us his deep spiritual truths? And that's not to say that every day has to be some miraculous experience for us. That's not reality. As we're here on this earth for just a short time, we talk about often how quickly the days pass, the days turn into weeks and months and years, and we're growing older at a very rapid pace, it seems like. And we get caught up in that, but do we find ourselves growing? Do we find ourselves growing in the Lord? Do we find ourselves drawing closer to him? Do we find ourselves feeding on the spiritual food that the Lord is offering to us? And he is offering it to us. Every time we look into his word, he's offering us something that we can take with us. Are we using that opportunity every time it's given to us? A brother just mentioned recently, I really appreciated the thought. He said that, speaking about his attendance in church, he said, I try my best to make it every time I can, because I know that when that time passes, when that day or that evening passes, and I didn't make it, he said, I'm never getting that time back. The message that I didn't hear that evening, the time that I didn't spend in God's word and didn't spend with other believers, didn't spend that time praising the Lord in song and thinking about the words that are penned in those hymns that we sang together, that time is gone. That'll never come back. We lost an opportunity to be within hearing of God's word. How sad is that? That's why we have to make it a priority to gather ourselves together and also to look into God's word at home, that he would lead us, direct us, and shape us. And yes, again, we find ourselves, as we go through life, we find ourselves at times forgetting what we've heard. Sadly, we find ourselves forgetting the messages that we've heard. But that doesn't mean that it's in vain that we gather. Yes, we should try our best to remember everything that we can and hold it dear to us and commit passages and verses to memory that helps us, strengthens us in time of need. But if we don't have a great memory or we find ourselves forgetting, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't gather. If we find ourselves reading a chapter and a few weeks later we can't remember the details of the story that we read, that doesn't mean that time was spent in vain, no. Because the Lord's always using any time that we're within hearing of God's word, any time that we're in his word by ourselves in quiet. God's teaching us. He's forming us. He's shaping us. So while we might not remember everything that we read, while we might have to go back and refresh ourselves on certain passages of what we read before, those experiences, those times that we spend in God's word add up, and they make us more spiritually minded every day. That's feeding on God's word. Do we find ourselves feasting on God's word, or do we find ourselves being distracted with things that really are useless in the grand scheme of things? Is that a hindrance to us? Is it a hindrance to us, to our spiritual growth, when we are not using our time wisely? And that doesn't mean that everything we're doing is sin. That doesn't mean that every minute that we spend in free time not looking to God's word is a sin. But what are we doing in that free time? Is it something beneficial? Is it something that's going to make us stronger in the Lord? Or do we find ourselves serving others? As we read here in this chapter, it's important that we would do good to others. As we have, in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, as we have opportunity. And the Lord gives us these chances. He reveals them unto us. And when we don't take that chance, when we don't do the thing that the Lord is asking for us to do, we're, as the brother said, we're not getting that time back. So we can apply that to church attendance, but we can also apply that to any area of our spiritual life. Any time that the Lord is looking for us to do something for him, for his kingdom, and we don't, that chance just passed us by. We didn't take the time to give God the glory by the way that we live our life. We have to guard ourselves against that. There are eternal consequences to this. So we have many hindrances that keep us from the Lord. And I also know that we've heard lately about the opposite, what the Lord is looking from us that we would draw closer unto him, what the Lord is looking for us that we would have a closer relationship with him. Pride gets in the way so very much, and we hear about that so often, and we should. We have to always be refreshed. As again, we've heard lately, I keep repeating, as we've heard lately, we've heard multiple times how if we think of ourselves too highly, it's not wise. In verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We deceive ourselves, and we think that we're so important, and we think that the world should revolve around us. We're deceiving ourselves, and we're not letting God work in us. And again, what have we read lately? Just recently, it was read the account of Gideon, how the Lord was able to work in Gideon and bring about a great deliverance for his people. And what did Gideon say when the Lord revealed himself unto Gideon and gave him a task and said, I'm going to deliver my people through you? And he said, who am I? Gideon said, who am I? My family is the lowest. I'm not worthy of this. And that's why the Lord was able to work through Gideon. And we read that over and over again throughout scriptures. We read of Moses. When the Lord was looking to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, Moses said, I'm the last one. Find someone else that's more fitting. Find someone that can speak better. He was full of no pride. He had no pride in him. And that's why the Lord was able to deliver his children from Egypt, because of the meekness and lowliness of Moses. And again, we see that pattern repeated throughout scripture. Where Saul was made the first king of God's people because he was low. He didn't think of himself as being too high. And then he was, over time, sadly, he was built up in pride, and then his kingdom was taken from him. It was given unto David, who also was low, thinking of himself as nothing, thinking of himself not worthy to be called the king when God's anointed Saul was the king. In lowliness, this is how God works. And this is how God works in us now today. These passages, these stories that are recorded for us are not in vain. They're not just stories that were written thousands of years ago for children to read. They're for us. They're for us to recognize that if we are really desiring that the Lord would work in us and create in us a new creature, there are certain things we have to do. We have to make ourselves low. Remove from us any pride. Any thinking, any thought that we are something has to be removed from us. And then we allow the Lord to work in us. Then we allow the Lord to save us and to make us a new creature that will go about doing good for his honor and for his glory, not for our own. We're not worthy of anything. We sing fairly often a hymn in the Zion's Harp. Hymn 47, the first verse says, bravely strive when God doth call thee, when he turns to thee in grace. Cast off aught that would enthrall thee and would hinder in the race. Anything that would enthrall us, anything that would entice us, anything that would enslave us into a life of sin, cast that off. Anything that would hinder us in this race has to be put off from us. And the writer of this hymn is, I believe, referring to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, it's a well-known verse for us. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we're honest with ourselves, I think we can find ourselves identifying with this in our lives, where there is sin that so easily besets us. There are sins, there are temptations that come our way that so easily overtake us. And why is that? It's not the fault of the Lord. It's our own fault. Whenever we find ourselves being overtaken, whenever we find ourselves being anxious or worried, or whether we just find ourselves going through the motions and not really doing anything for the Lord, whose fault is that? It's ours. We're not allowing the Lord to work in us for some reason or another, whether it's whatever hindrance it might be, whether it's pride or whether it's the love of worldliness, whether it's the love of money, which is worldliness, whatever it might be, or just plain old laziness, whatever the case might be, it's our fault ultimately if the Lord is not working in us to create in us a new creature. The Lord is always trying to show us what his will is, and he does that daily in our lives if we allow him. Are we allowing him? Or are we simply going through the motions where we gather and then a couple hours later we don't even know anything about our gathering? What good was that gathering then? If we are just hearers of the word and not doers, it's in vain. It might make us feel good when we gather. It might make us feel good when we've been in the house of the Lord within hearing of God's word. It makes us maybe feel better about ourselves, but if we don't do anything with that knowledge, then what is it? It's just head knowledge. It won't save us. The Lord is calling us to work, to do, to put that faith into action, to let him, to allow him to transform us and to work in us, that he would receive the honor and glory that only he is worthy of. Again, what did we read recently? We read of the parable of the leaven, how God's kingdom, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to leaven, which overtakes us. Though leaven starts off small, it grows. It overtakes the whole loaf. That's God's kingdom working in us. That's something we just read recently. Again, God's trying to show us. There's a theme here, I believe, of these messages that we've heard. God's trying to show us something. Let's not ignore that call. Let's not ignore what he's showing for us, what he's having for us. What things are we feeding our spiritual man? Do we find ourselves feeding ourselves spiritually, or just do we find ourselves chasing after emptiness and worldliness? In Psalm 42, we read, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." Can we say this? Can this be a prayer that we could honestly utter? Can we say that my soul pants after God? Can we say that our souls thirst for God, the living God, who sits on his throne? Are we thirsting? Are we desiring to partake of his word? Or is it mundane to us? Do we find no need? Do we find ourselves thinking, I'm not going to remember what I read anyway, so why even read? That's the worst thought we can have. And some of us are, there are some in our gatherings that are blessed with the ability to memorize and commit to memory book, chapter, and verse of very important thoughts. That's a blessing. We should use that. If we've been given that gift, let's use it to be able to speak to others and to explain to them what God is wanting to do in our lives. But maybe we don't have that gift. Maybe we find it hard to remember something we've read. That doesn't mean it's in vain that we would read it. That we would be every day brought closer to God, every day be within hearing or reading of his word. This is how God speaks to us today. And if we find ourselves being so busy, so caught up with whatever it is that we're caught up in life, then we're not allowing the Lord to work in us. We're not allowing him to speak to us. The Lord's not going to shout. We know in Scripture, read, the Lord's not going to shout over the world. He's not going to yell over the crowds. He's going to speak to us through his spirit in a still small voice. He's looking for us to be listening, to be on our guard, to be watching, to be thinking about what the Lord would have for us to do. And again, these have eternal consequences. And what better example do we have than that of the Apostle Paul here, who, as we mentioned the prayer and as we read in this chapter, he did not glory in anything but in the cross of Christ. He says, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Can we say that? Can we say that the world and all of its allurements, all of its pleasures, they don't entice me? I'm not interested. Can we say that? Can we pray to the Lord honestly and say, "Search me, O God, and try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me." Can we say that? Is that an honest prayer? When we go home this evening and we kneel at our bedsides, can we say that prayer honestly Can we say, Lord, search me. If there's any wicked way in me, if there's anything that's not bringing honor and glory unto thee, can we tell the Lord to search us? Or would we be embarrassed of what the Lord would find in our hearts? Would we be embarrassed if it was brought to everyone's attention now in the middle of the room what we've been looking at in this day, what kind of thoughts we've had, what kind of music we've listened to? Would we be embarrassed if everyone saw it? If so, why are we not embarrassed and ashamed that the living God who sits on his throne sees those things? Why do we deceive ourselves and to think that doesn't matter? Why do we deceive ourselves and to think that the Lord's just going to gloss over that, that worldliness, that ungodliness, when he's calling us to something far greater, to a new life, a transformed life, which is possible through Christ? He's calling us to something that's possible. God is not calling us to something that's unattainable. He's saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. We just have to be ready, to be pliable, to be moldable, to have the potter work with us as the clay, however he would have for us. Let's be ready. Let's not set any hindrance, any stumbling block, any roadblock in the way of God to work in us. And if that's our attitude, if that's our mindset as we go about our lives, God will richly bless us. And our life will have purpose. Our life will have meaning. The life of an unbeliever has no purpose. What does an unbeliever live for? What is there? What to attain what? What's the end goal? There is none. But the life of a believer is a life with purpose, a life with meaning, a life where we pass from one life into another eternally. We can't even comprehend what that means, eternal life. We don't know it. We don't understand it. But this is a life with meaning. So why would we think anything else is more important? Let's hear what the Lord is having for us. We're within hearing of God's word tonight. We're within hearing of God's word every time we gather. Let's remember the things that we've heard. Let's remember the thoughts that were shared. Let's remember the prayers that were uttered. Do we find our minds wandering during the prayers? Where our brother is praying, our mind is who knows where. We have to guard ourselves. Because we know that God is here with us. Whenever we gather in the house of the Lord, whenever we gather two or three or more, we know God's presence is here. We know that the devil is also trying to infiltrate our thoughts, trying to remove from us any blessing that we've heard, to try to make our gathering in vain. The devil doesn't mind if we gather in church and we receive nothing from it. That's a victory for him. So let's gather with a purpose, gather with a meaning, to look into God's word, to receive truth from it, to receive instruction, and to grow in him, into the image of our Savior and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. May God add a blessing to his word this evening. Amen.